grace, mercy, power, and peace are yours this morning and every morning through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The owner had a problem, and he needed a solution. The trouble is, nothing would work. He owned a high-rise office building in New York City. It was clean, modern, full of amenities, and people loved it. What they did not love was waiting for the elevator. Especially during peak hours, those elevator wait times were excessively long. It was so bad that people actually threatened to leave the building. Companies who worked there were going to break their leases if that elevator problem wasn't solved. So the owner got to work. He consulted with architects, but they said the design of the building made it impossible to install more elevators. He talked with engineers, but they could not safely increase the speed of the elevators. He tried putting up signs encouraging people to take the stairs, but that went about as well as you'd expect. It just led to people being sweaty, out of breath, and even more upset with the elevator situation. So running out of time and desperate for answers, this owner turned to his interns, one of whom had a very unique take on the problem. This intern reasoned that people weren't complaining because they had to wait for an elevator. He thought they were complaining because they were bored. So his solution was unorthodox. He suggested installing mirrors near each elevator boarding area. That way, as you were waiting, instead of just staring at a blank stretch of wall, now you could look in the mirror. You could fix your hair, maybe sneak a peek at the people around you. With no other solutions in sight, the owner decided to install the mirrors. And surprisingly, it worked. Within days of the mirrors going up, complaints about the elevators went down, dropping to almost zero. Now, was that an underhanded solution? Possibly. Was it clever? Definitely. But the real lesson of that high-rise elevator problem is that sometimes tough problems require simple solutions. And in our sermon text for today from Matthew chapter 9, our Savior Jesus faces not one but two tough problems, and he has to come up with a solution for those problems. See if you can identify what those two problems Jesus faces are as we read from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were troubled and downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out workers into his harvest." This is God's word. That first verse you heard, it summarizes everything Jesus had been doing so far in his ministry. He was a real road warrior, traveling to every town and every village throughout the northern part of Israel. And as he traveled, Matthew tells us he stayed quite busy. He was busy preaching and teaching and healing. He preached a message of full and free forgiveness through the Savior, through himself. He elaborated and expounded on that message by teaching in the synagogues and in the streets. He healed the blind, sick, and paralyzed. He drove out demons. He raised the dead. And as you can imagine, this was wildly popular with the people. Jesus was a powerful preacher, a tremendous teacher, a helpful healer. What was not to love about Jesus? It's no wonder crowds of people flocked to see him. But that was problem number one for Jesus, those crowds. To be more precise, it wasn't the people themselves. Instead, it was their spiritual state. Matthew describes them as being troubled and downcast. And the idea behind those words is that they were just spiritually fatigued and forlorn. They were dejected and deserted. They were hurting and helpless. Matthew also says they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were untended, unprotected, unable to help themselves. Without a spiritual shepherd who could guide them to see Jesus, these people were on a path leading towards spiritual danger and death. And that was a problem. It was a problem back in Jesus' time. Is it still a problem today? Are there people who, like shepherdless sheep, are wandering into spiritual danger? Are there people hurt by sin or helpless because of unbelief? Are there people worn out and exhausted from trying to earn their way into heaven, not knowing that Jesus has already earned heaven for them? Absolutely, there are people like that. You know people like that. You work with people like that. You live next to people like that. But the real question is, how do you view such people? Do you view them as someone else's problem? As people who don't really need our help? As a burden in your already busy life? I think it's time we started to view those people the same way Jesus did. And Matthew 9 tells us that when Jesus saw those people, his heart was moved with compassion for them. He had compassion on them. His heart went out to them, and their hurts, their sorrows became his hurts and his sorrows. He empathized. He sympathized, and he wanted to help. But before Jesus could help, before he could solve problem number one and fix the spiritual state of these people, he first had to solve problem number two. And problem number two comes up as Jesus is gazing out over this great crowd of people. And as he looks out over them, he sees more than just a multitude of hurting people. He sees them in a different light. He sees a field of souls. Souls ripe for the harvest, souls ready to be brought into God's kingdom. And that's when Jesus says these famous words, which are both very true and very problematic. He says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." In other words, there were so many people who needed to hear about Jesus and so few who were telling them about Jesus. Let's do some quick math here. Jesus plus his 12 disciples made for 13 workers. 13. In a harvest field of hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands. The math was against them. There was simply too much to do and not enough time to do it. Too many people to tell and not enough people doing the telling. And that was a problem. It was a problem back in Jesus' time. And I think it's an even bigger problem for us today. Because today our harvest of souls is indeed plentiful. Right now in our world, we have over 7.5 billion people. And every single one of them needs to hear about Jesus. 7.5 billion. That is a huge number. And it's easy to lose sight of just how big of a number 7.5 billion is. So think about it this way. Imagine that you wanted to count every person on earth. And you could count one person per second, about this speed. 1, 2, 3. And you could count like that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and no breaks, no stopping, no eating, no sleeping, no resting. If you could count like that, it would take you over 31 years. To count to 1 billion. And we have 7.5 billion people, which means that if you wanted to count every person who needs to hear about Jesus, who is currently alive right now, it would take you over 230 years of nonstop counting. Perhaps you see a few problems with that. First, you're not going to live to be 230 years old. I hate to break it to you. It's just not going to happen. Second, even if you could live that long, you cannot spend every single second of 230 years counting people. You need time to eat and sleep and rest, and that adds even more time to the 230 years. Third, we're not just trying to count these people, are we? We're trying to tell them about Jesus, and it takes a little bit more than 1 second per person to talk to someone and get to know them and share the message of Jesus with them. That adds even more time. Fourth, there's people dying every day. And if we're going to reach them with the good news of Jesus before they die, we're going to have to crisscross the globe, and all of that traveling adds even more time. And fifth, there's more people being born than there are dying every day, which means that as big as that number, 7.5 billion, is, it's only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger every single day. Do you get the point? It's impossible. It's impossible for one person or one congregation to tell everyone in this world about Jesus. Even if you ignore the 30% of people who call themselves Christian, that's still over 5 billion people who don't know about Jesus. And that is a problem. So, quick review. Problem number one is the spiritual state of people who don't know Jesus. Problem number two, the staggeringly huge number of people who don't know Jesus. And as you think about those problems, and you feel their weight start to settle in, it might seem like these are problems without solutions, without answers, like they are insurmountable, unsolvable. But I have good news. There is a solution to both of these problems. And it's a solution that comes straight from the mouth of our Savior himself, so you know it is a perfect solution. Jesus gives us his solution to those two problems in Matthew 9, verse 38, where he says, "Therefore pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out workers." That's it. That's the solution. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Easy answer. Let's get more workers. Let's get more pastors and teachers and witnesses for Jesus. And let's get those people the best possible way. Let's put the problem in God's hands. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out workers. So that's what we do. We ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. We pray like crazy that he would give us more pastors and teachers and witnesses for Jesus. Maybe we don't do that as often as we should, but we definitely do it. My home congregation up in Wisconsin, we do that. Your church right here, you do that. Churches all over the country, all over the world are doing that. We are asking, we are praying. But where are the workers? Because as you look around at our church body, it might seem like maybe, just maybe, God is not answering those prayers. Because as you look around at our little synod, you might notice that we are short quite a number of workers. Right now, we need just over 100 pastors and around 180 teachers. Think about that for a moment. 100 churches that want pastors, and they don't have one. 180 Lutheran classrooms that need teachers, they don't have one. And that's just to plug the holes we currently have. If we're going to keep telling people about Jesus the way God wants us to, if we're going to start new churches and expand our schools and grow our current congregations, we're going to need more than 280 pastors and teachers. And that's just the called worker side of things. That's not even mentioning the scores of everyday witnesses for Jesus that we need. We are asking. We are praying. But where are the workers? Well, Jesus once again gives us the solution. And in fact, he gives us a couple of solutions to that question, where are the workers? One of those solutions is a school. Luther Preparatory School, the school that I work at and that I represent. Luther Prep is a high school owned and operated by our entire church body, which means whether you knew it or not, Luther Prep is your school. We're located about 550 miles from here in Watertown, Wisconsin, and at Luther Prep we have one mission. We encourage and prepare our high school students to be pastors, teachers, and witnesses for Jesus. About half of our students end up becoming pastors and teachers, and they tell people about Jesus in pulpits or classrooms. The other half are not pastors and teachers, but they tell people about Jesus at home, at work, or across the backyard fence. Wherever they come from, wherever they go, Luther Prep students are one answer to that question, where are the workers? But they are not the only answer. Jesus gives us another solution to that question. It wasn't in the verses we read from Matthew chapter 9, but it's in the very next verses of Matthew's gospel, the opening words of chapter 10, where Jesus calls his disciples to him. He huddles them up, he gives them some instructions, and then he sends them out to be workers in his harvest field. You can imagine how this happened, right? At the end of Matthew 9, Jesus says, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out workers. So the disciples, they pray with all their might that God would send more pastors and teachers and witnesses for Jesus. And no sooner do they finish their prayer than there's Jesus standing there pointing at them and saying, now you, go and be the workers you just asked for. It's a powerful lesson, isn't it? Jesus was showing his disciples that the answer to their prayers was much closer than they thought. And my new friends in Jesus, that's what God wants you to know today. That the answer to your prayers for more pastors and teachers and witnesses for Jesus is a lot closer than you think. Because you can be the answer to those prayers. You can be a worker in God's harvest field. You can be someone who tells others about Jesus. You can tell people about Jesus in all sorts of different ways, by being a pastor, a teacher, a believer. So, the young men of this church, you can tell people about Jesus by being a pastor. A pastor who preaches sermons which point people straight to their Savior. A pastor who baptizes and instructs the young and the old, a pastor who looks people in the eye and tells them without any doubt, your sins are forgiven because Jesus died for you. Young women and young men of this church, you can tell people about Jesus by being a teacher. A teacher who brings Jesus to school children every day. A teacher who patiently explains God's word so that students can understand it. A teacher who encourages their students to show Jesus to their friends, family, and classmates. Everyone at this church, you can tell people about Jesus by being a believer. A believer who shines the love of Christ into the lives of those around you. A believer who injects the message of Jesus into everyday conversation. A believer who daily models Christian living and forgiving. A believer who makes it your personal mission to tell as many people as possible about the Savior who loves them. You can be that person. You can be a worker in God's harvest field. You can be the answer to our prayers. You can help the helpless and heal the hurting by bringing them God's amazing love. You can shepherd the lost sheep by guiding them to Jesus. You can go out and work with such energy, such passion, such vigor that the entire harvest field is gathered in and heaven is bursting at the seams. You can help an enormous crowd or a single person by doing one of the simplest things, by telling them about Jesus. So, where are the workers? It's a good question. It's a tough question. But like hanging a mirror near an elevator, the solution is simple. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. But then look around, because the answer to your prayers is a lot closer than you think. The answer is right here. The answer is you. Amen. Please stand.